Lip service Christianity will not save you is the topic that Holy Ghost wants to speak about today. And there have been so many, I mean, we can look through the centuries and see that, people confessing Christ but living for themselves. That's really what it's about. And because have talked in the past about a dividing line between the true body, the true bride, and her counterpart or imposter bride, the apostate church, which are those that confess Christ but live for themselves, confess him, have a form of godliness but not the power thereof. So they might be look very religious. And I don't want to use that word religious to always mean a bad thing. I know it's coined nowadays in a lot of modern groups. It will be talked about as it's this horrid, defiling thing. True religion, he says, is looking after widows and orphans in their need and keeping yourself undefiled, unspotted from the world. That's God's religion. There's nothing wrong with religion if it's his. If it's traditions of man, which is what people really call religion, and doctrines of man, it has no purpose other than to make the word of God no effect, which is what Jesus said it did. So that's why we want to look at this lip service Christianity. People will tell you in such dramatic tones and such heartfelt, it seems, heartfelt comments and ideas and pleading that they really love him, they really love him, but they keep doing the wrong thing. Now, if that's true, we're making a choice. Now, we're not talking about overcoming sin in our own power. But we're talking about knowing and yielding to his power and not using the excuse that I'm weak. Yes, you are weak. We're all weak. Without him, we can do nothing. So we don't have to pretend we're strong. But the truth is, what's underneath this mask of poor me, I'm the one struggling so hard to be the way he wants me to be. Why are you struggling when he's given you everything that you need to be that way? You just have to ask. The truth is, it's pride. Pride causes us to struggle because we want to prove that we can do it. That's one thing. The other thing is we want to prove we can't do it, and we want a lot of attention. That will not save us. Lip service Christianity means I speak the right words. I say the things that everybody expects me to say. I profess that I love him. I even demand that people see that I love him, but I still want to be in control. I still want to be the one who chooses my own way. And I can complain for 25 years and say that it's everybody else's fault when in fact it's my choice not to repent. He is really wanting to shine the light on. It's actually, the word is hammer. Nobody likes that. You know, oh, you can't use that word. You can't hammer me. No, he wants to hammer in the idea, the truth about repentance. Because without it, we are unsaved. And we can pretend all we want that his grace is enough and I don't have to say anything and end up in hell. That isn't how he has offered himself. He's offered himself as a living sacrifice to us, for us to give our lives to him in exchange, our ungodliness, our unrighteousness, our filthy rags for him, so that we live for him, not for ourselves. He gave me the scripture this morning, and a very specific, just one verse in a chapter. It's 1 Timothy 1:17. And it's interesting, it's not one of the verses that anyone's going to have to, no one is going to have a controversy about this verse. No one is going to have to decide whether it's true or what's the Greek in it or the Hebrew. No one is going to have to analyze it. Just listen up. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We can't debate that. Well, if you're an atheist, you can debate it. But if you're a Christian and you start debating it, well, one would wonder whether you were saved. This is who we're talking about. It's not lip service. It's our service to him. Who is he? The King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, not us, we're not wise, he is alone wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. That's who we're serving. That's who we are sons of and daughters of. That's who's transforming us day by day from glory to glory. Not us. But we've got to get over this. It's, you know, there's one thing to be boastful about. I can do this. I've got authority. I can command this. I can loose that. I can bind that. That's one end of the spectrum of humanism, of humanity thinking they're in charge of God and their own walk with him. The other side of it is, poor me, I try so much. I love him so much. I want him to be everything. I do. And I still do everything wrong. I still walk my own way. But I claim that I love him. No, we have to be honest and say, no, I don't love you this much. In this area, I love my sin more. In this area, I love my desire more. In this area, I love people more. In this area, I love the honor of man more. We have to tell him. He then can transform us. That's the wonder of God. He doesn't come up and slap you across the head and say, you know, you blew it, kid. It's over. I'm the king. Eternal, invisible, immortal. I'm alone who is wise. You know what? You're out. That's not what he does. He says, come boldly into the throne of grace for help and mercy in time of need. Yes, I know you're weak. That's why I gave you my spirit. Because through him, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of truth, your teacher, your comforter, through him, you can overcome. Through him, you can be transformed into the image of Christ. But no one's wanting to look at him or certainly defer to him. That's why there's lip service Christianity, because no one is quite an exaggeration. Most do not know the spirit of the living God who lives in them. One true God, the fullness of God indwelling, who comes upon, who is within, who urges, who draws you to repentance, who convicts. People don't want to hear that word. No, you can't convict me. Do you know what? You can call it chastening or conviction. As long as he's at the helm, you will be safe. If your mouth is at the helm with your lip service Christianity trying to prove how good you are and how much you love him, while you keep doing the same old, you will never get free. I had someone come to me recently, and it was amazing. They had gotten to the end, as they say in Australia, the end of their tether. So the end of the rope. They couldn't pretend anymore. And their first words were something like this. I am so scared to be without God. I am really afraid. I am tormented. I've been indulging in my flesh, saying that I'm a Christian, but doing everything that's against being a Christian. I want out. I want freedom. I want to be with him. I'm so frightened. I was like, hallelujah for the fear of the Lord. Those were their first words to me. I mean, there wasn't much for me to do. I just prayed in the Holy Ghost, prayed whatever he led me to pray, had the person in their own words, in their own heart, confess to him, give themselves to him. And by the time we were done, which was literally a few moments, that's the wonder of God. This person had the burden lifted off, felt so happy they couldn't stop smiling, and said, I've never felt this. I've never had this in my heart, this joy in my heart. And I was sitting there literally as a witness, because this happened over 10,000 miles away, as a witness going, where was I in all this, Lord? What did I do? Because it was totally effortless. We think we have to cleanse ourselves, cut off the barnacles off our, you know, wicked ways, make ourselves a new creation. By what means? It's impossible. That's arrogance too. And then saying, oh, look, I failed. That's the trick of the enemy. He'll just always get you back to you, whether it's back to you about how bad you are, back to you how amazing and great you are. He doesn't care which way, as long as he can get you on you. Focus on you, you're not in Christ. I don't mean you're not in him, But you're no longer hitting him. You're all about you. And that protection of being focused on Christ that we receive when we cannot look any other way, not to the left or the right. We're walking that narrow path, the narrow gate, few who find it. That's our protection. And we should be so thankful when the fear of the Lord comes upon someone, or ourselves, for that matter. And if that means a swift kick in the backside, spiritually, so be it. That means it saves us from hell, or saves us from torment, or saves us from making mistakes that we have no business making simply because we want to be in the lead. That's really why it's lip service. It's like, I'll say that I belong. It's like belonging to a club. I'm a member of such and such club. You know, the 398 Four Leaf Clover Club. And I attend to all the meetings. And I pay my dues. So I must be a member. But in that membership, in that their particular policy or doctrinal purpose, they might say, these are the kinds of things that you do as a member of the 398 Four Leaf Clover Club. But you never do them. You're always doing what you want to do. And that's what it's like with Christianity. It's not a club to belong to. It's a person to be one with. That's what we're meant to do as Christians. Live in Him. Not live for us. Why do we want to live for ourselves? It's so meaningless. It's so boring. But people get so used to it that they don't even think that God is wise. They think they're wise. It's not the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, God who alone is wise. It's me and what I can do. Me and my purpose. Me and my calling. Me and how special I am. Me and how good I am at reconciling problems with people. Me and look at what a good Christian I am. It's all about me. Well, it's all about us. It's not about Christ. And we know we're off the track. In a major way. And it's a situation where, as he said to me earlier today, and why he wants to do this teaching, why Holy Ghost, and I can say that. You know what amazes me? We can, when we're in union with him, we can say, Holy Ghost wants to say this. These are his words. We are to speak the oracles of God, the utterances of God. We are to do everything as unto the Lord. Not unto ourselves. We can say he's speaking through me. He must speak through us. If he's not speaking through us and we're speaking for ourselves, we're going to mislead everyone we speak to. And that's completely unacceptable. So let's look at that 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, which means utterances or words of God. But it is a beautiful word. It's very poetic. If anyone ministers, and that includes helping in any way, it doesn't just have to mean ministering, being an evangelist and going to different parts of the world. Ministering is helping. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do in and through us as we yield. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, who is being glorified? That's the issue. Lip service Christianity will glorify man. Look what I've done. I'm trying to give up my sin. Oh, I've evangelized 17 people this week. Oh, I have kicked out so many devils this week. Look at all the healings on my list. Who's being glorified? Professing that we belong to him and glorifying ourselves? Isn't that what Satan did? And it got him kicked out of heaven. Forever. Who do we want to glorify? You know, if you're going to glorify yourself, if you are the object of your own glorification, you're going to have to do a lot of hard work to prove yourself. But if you yield to him and go, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. And I want to glorify you in everything I do. And when my pride stirs up or rises up, Lord, squash it. I don't care. If we're that honest with him, we will walk in a freedom we never expect it to happen for us. As it says, you know, you will know the truth and the truth sets you free. When you start to walk in union with him as a living relationship, you start to understand how the depth of what that means. You shall know the truth. There are so many levels of that. And the truth shall set you free. When you know you're nothing without God and he is the one to be glorified, you ain't got nothing to prove. You're just, here I am, Lord. Like Isaiah said, here I am. Who shall I send? Here I am. Send me. That's what we're asked to do. Not preach about ourselves, preach about how to get blessings, preach about whose doctrine is better than whose, preach about somebody else's teaching, preach about somebody's methodology. No, we're supposed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what we're called to preach. And that alone. And when I know there's been a lot of criticism about people becoming close to the Holy Spirit and communing with him. If you do not have him, you will not be able to preach the gospel freely. In Acts, how were they able to boldly go? They asked him, Lord, embolden us to boldly speak. And they did, and miracle signs and wonders followed them. Not because they were chasing miracle signs and wonders, because they wanted to preach the truth. And truth cannot be limited. Truth will not be held back. Truth will just pour out. You're going to be a vessel for truth. Watch out. It's going to pour out of your very pores for all to see and know. So they too can have that freedom. This really is about who is Christianity about? Us or him? For us, in our lives, how we walk as Christians. If it's about us and our needs, if it's about us and our desires, if it's about us and our lack, if it's about us and our weakness, if it's about us and our sin, it's not about him. And we're going to be miserable. You can't have peace with God if your focus is on you, and that's your primary motive, how to be you, how to get what you need, how to accomplish this, how to accomplish that. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He does the exalting, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The truth is, we don't trust God, and we need to be honest about it. We don't. And it grieves the Holy Spirit so deeply. When will you trust me is his question. When? What needs to be done? What proof do you need? What more can be done to prove that God is who he says he is, means what he says he means, and has done what he said he did? What do we have to do to trust him? What's it going to take? What else can God do for us to actually believe that he is who he says he is? We can't pretend anymore. It's really getting down to the wire. You know, I believe very strongly there is a spirit, and I don't mean a spirit like a person. I mean like an essence of repentance being sent upon the body of Christ. Those that will call him their Savior. Those that may have professed even, but haven't lived like that. He is giving people that chance. When repentance comes on people, I was reading of it the other day, or listening about it actually, how when there has been what we would call a tsunami of revival, sometimes back in the 20th century, early 20th century, in different parts of the world, whether it's in Wales, and I think there were some other parts as well of the world, but in the UK. And people were just lining the streets, in front of police stations, in front of pubs, lining the streets, crying out to God for mercy. No one was preaching to them. No one was telling them. And in fact, some of them, when they were asked, why were you doing that? Why were you on your knees begging God? I don't know. This power came upon me and I couldn't help it. That's the Holy Ghost. And he's coming again to do this for people. Out of what? So he can prove how great he is? No, because the mercy of God is so great. Like that person that came to me the other day. In absolute repentance. I didn't need to say a word. He had already done that. I just needed to do the finishing up. And the finishing up wasn't even me doing it. It was just Holy Ghost. I'm asking you to cleanse them. Do you know the word he gave? And I thought, wow, this is incredible. Cleanse them like you would gut a fish. Gut them. Get rid of it all so they can be free. That's what he wants. But we want to hold on to the guts. And it's not even our guts. It's garbage. We want to hold on to the stuff that keeps us held back. That makes us feel like we still have our identity. What identity? Our identity is in him. When he says, you no longer live, but Christ lives in you, he means it. See yourself in that way, not by trying to, not by some kind of meditation, but simply by saying, Holy Spirit, I don't even know how to see myself as I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, because I live all the time. It's all about me. Help me. Free me. Loose me from these chains of self-indulgence. In Jesus' name, so I can be who you called me to be. That's how simple it is. We don't have to go through trial and tribulation over all of this and go back to the dog's vomit every time Satan gives us a little temptation. God knows that we're weak. What does he say? He says he knows we'll be tempted. But who does he give in us? His very spirit. To help us overcome. Do we not care that he lives in us? Or are we going to pretend, not just do-it-yourself Christianity, are we going to pretend we're victims? When he not only died and bled for us, but indwells us now, the one true God, indwells us, lives in us, is in constant communion if we so choose. It's often said, I've heard it said before, oh, you can't talk to him like that. Why? Because you don't? I'm not led by you, I'm led by him. If he wants to talk to me 24/7 and have conversations and write prophetic words and spill out everywhere for the body so the body can be cleansed, healed, and edified, well, so be it. Hallelujah. I am grateful that you consider me worthy, Lord. Not because a man says, no, he's only in the book now. I'm sorry, you may only read him in the book. Holy Spirit lives in the book. Put him on the shelf. No, you don't need him right now. No! People are not to dictate to others how to walk in Christ. That is only dictated to by God. Holy Spirit says, I have had enough of your lip service Christianity. Saying you love Christ. Saying you want to serve God with your whole heart and your whole being. Saying you will go anywhere and do anything for him. And then you sit in your living room and complain about politics. Or you won't even confront unrighteousness when it's on your very street. Or you will run from what I've asked you to do. Do not say you love me if you will not walk in faith. Do not lie to me any longer. If you don't know how to love me, if you don't know how to walk in faith, I am here to teach you. But do not pretend anymore. The game over. It's enough. Now it's time to glorify God, not yourselves. He is so grieved for the body, to the point where it's difficult for me to let him speak. But he wants to speak, and I believe a lot of, maybe it'll only be a few minutes, I'm not sure, that's up to him. A lot of what's going to be spoken today is just going to be directly his words. The words of God, the oracles of God, and they're not going to be pleasant words. But without chastening, we will remain in our foolishness, and we will remain prisoners of our own bondage and our own making and of Satan's. So, Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak what you desire through my mouth in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Ghost says, if you want to be free, stop pretending. You will never find liberty in pretense. Whether you're pretending in a marriage or you're pretending that you have faith. Stop pretending. That is your first step. Come to me with what's bothering you. Come to me with what torments you. Come to me with your pain, your agony, your past, your feelings. And I can give you rest. You will not find rest for yourselves. You will only find rest in me. But if you ignore me and you attempt to make yourself enough, I will never be enough for you. And I am waiting to be heard. And I am waiting to be known. And I am waiting for you. Who's speaking to you is the one true God. This is not lip service. This is truth. If you want to be transformed into the image of Christ, you are going to have to yield to me, the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, forget it. Deals off. You cannot be transformed by yourself. You cannot be transformed by a man. You cannot be transformed by a ministry. You cannot be transformed by somebody even praying for you. Only I can do it. You do not have that power, and neither does anyone else. It is time you admit it. You're powerless. Without me, you're powerless. The only power you have is human strength. If that is sufficed for you, enough for you, sufficient for you, have it. And you won't have me. I won't compete with your puny power any longer. You can have it. That's all you'll have, though. You want mercy? Mercy comes with repentance. I can't pour out mercy without repentance. You can't have it. While you think you're good enough on your own, while you shut me out, while you pretend you're doing everything right, while you lip service the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the same breath defile him. There is no mercy there. Do you know why Paul received mercy after he killed Christians? Because he didn't know what he was doing. He was ignorant of what he was doing. He thought what he did was righteous. But if you are pretending that you're righteous and you are lying behind everyone's back, there is no mercy for you. Don't pretend you're a Christian. Don't pretend you belong to Jesus Christ and then defile him by your behavior. By your actions, by your words. There is no mercy for that. I will have none of it. Do not try me. Do not pretend anymore. You want to be set free? I'm gladly there for you. I'm the Spirit of Liberty. And where I am, there's freedom. But you have to choose. Which way you want to go. It is a life and death choice. And it is not just for unbelievers. It is for those of you that claim you believe, but live for yourself. You believe in what? What do you believe in? You? What you want? Who you want to be? The pats on the back that you're waiting for, drooling for, because you'd rather have that that in the secret place, that in behind closed doors, God acknowledging you with such kindness, tenderness, and power. But no, you'd rather have it from men that will speak about you publicly and tell everyone how amazing you are, what you have done for God. No, glorify me, says the Lord. If you glorify you, you will be like Satan. It's that simple. There are only two choices. Glorify self, glorify Satan. Glorify God, glorify truth. Glorify life. Glorify the only one that can give you freedom. But if that's too high a price to pay, and your pride, you don't want to put it on the chopping block, so be it. Have it. Have your pride and live that way. God will not be mocked. You have read that. You know that. But you don't live like that. You live as if you can fornicate, you can lie, you can cheat, you can scam, you can swindle, you can slander. Your way into heaven. You can't. Jesus paid for you. Paid for you to be free. Paid for all your filth. And you still want to do it. Well, then you will die in your sin. Because it was finished on the cross. And you choose. Grace that so many of you talk about as if it's some kind of cupcake for you to eat. Grace cost him everything. If you want that grace, you give everything of you. You give yourself. That's how you're saved through faith. That's what it means. Yourself for himself. Of total replacement. You don't exist anymore. The dead man or woman that you were is gone. But if you want to make love to a dead man, you will be with the dead. If you want to walk in truth and freedom, you can dance with God Almighty through me. Because you have no access to the Father without me. Jesus Christ paid for you to be in union with God who made you, but it's not good enough for you. You want the candy and the junk food and the baubles and the glistening lights rather than me. You can have that. I don't twist any arms. I will draw one who wants to be drawn. If you choose not, you will stay in your sin. And you will justify it with doctrine, and you will lie about the gospel, and you will con people, and you will draw them into your deception. And you will be accountable. This is not a game. Being a Christian is the greatest honor, privilege, and freedom you will ever have. But if you use it and trample it under your feet like garbage, you are not a Christian. And don't pretend you are anymore. And stop telling everyone you can be whatever you want to be and be a Christian. No. It's not about rules. It's not about legalism. Don't pull that card out on me. I wrote the law. I know the law. The law was fulfilled by love. His name is Jesus Christ. You want to live for him or live for yourself? If you live for yourself, you are not following love. Whom God is. So it's whipping time in the temple. We are his temple. And I had to actually take a break because it was so painful to allow those words to be spoken through me, because it's the body whom I belong to that he's talking about. And it's very painful to speak those words. But he's saying the temple has to be cleared out from deception, from filth, from lies, from false prophets, from false teachings, from delusion, from self-indulgence. It has to be cleared. And the cord, the whip of cords that Jesus made, is the same for the Spirit. And he is whipping through the temples. We are his temples. And as one body, we are the body of Christ, whom has to be, we have to be received, right? He's coming for the church without spot or wrinkle. How is that going to happen if we continue on our own way? It won't. It can't. It's impossible. So that's his job. That's Holy Ghost's job. What we have to do as Christians, we have to say, yes, Lord, clean me out. If that means I have to stop indulging in a particular behavior or habit or addiction, so be it. Do whatever it takes. Scour me if you need to. I am tired of living half believing you and half not believing you. That's what's happened with the body. You know when he talks about in Revelation about the Laodiceans that most Christians know about, the lukewarm Christians. Half in, half out. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. That has to stop. He's not going to tolerate that. You don't get in with 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in him. You're either in him or you're not. You're either at enmity with God or you're in unity. It's not one or the other. Now, that doesn't mean we have to run around being frightened of him and thinking, oh my goodness, did I have a thought that was doubtful? Oh, did I say something I shouldn't have said? It's not like that. It means that we yield to him. Our whole being is yielded to him. Teach me, Lord. Where are you find fault? Show me. Show me what I need to do to change that. Is there any part of me that I have to give up? Any part of something that I've made more important than you? That's what he's asking for. He just wants us to be yielded vessels. He's not saying be perfect. He's saying be yielded. Be mine. Trust me. Not yourselves and not some guy on TV. Trust me or some guy online or woman. Trust me. That's all he's saying. This is not about being perfectionists, never making a mistake. It's about being willing to admit that when we make mistakes, we need him. And if we yielded to him beforehand, we wouldn't make those mistakes. The more we yield to him, the less mistakes we make. But it isn't about being perfect in ourselves. It's being perfected by him, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, God living in us. That's what he's asking for. Are you willing to let me have you as my property? Or do you want to sell yourself out to whatever whore and adulterer is around the corner? That's his word. And when he gets riled, he does get angry. And he does speak forthright. And it isn't namby-pamby, I'm a gentleman and be nice to you. It's like, I will tell you the truth so you can finally stop lying. Because you will never be free from by lying. Your lies mean nothing to me. I am not convinced by them. I am truth himself. I love truth, and so should you if you're mine. If you don't love truth, you need to repent so that I can pour truth upon you and in you. We really have to ask who we're led by. Him or us? Who leads us truly? Not let's, oh, I listen to the gospel on CD, or oh, I read my Bible every day, or I go to church, or I help the poor. Whatever it is that we think we do that makes us good enough. Number one, that isn't how he judges it. How did we get saved? By being so good? Most of us were doing everything wrong when we met him. It wasn't by being good that we got saved. It was by yielding to the truth that we weren't God and he was. And it's the same today. We are not to be glorified. It's almost like I can feel it. He wants me to say it over and over. We, human beings, we are not to glorify ourselves. We are not to be glorified, and we are not to steal the glory of God to make ourselves look good. It's not about us. It's about who lives in us now. It's about being one with him. It's about not loving our lives unto death, that he would be enough for us to even die for, as he died for us. This is not a one-way ticket to good times, being a Christian. It will cost you all you are. What a wonderful price to pay, because all we are is nothing without him. And what do we get? We get life himself living in us in exchange. So selfishness has got to go. That's what lip service says. I do this, I do that, I love him, I serve him, I want to be like this, I help, I'm struggling, I need this, I need that. I. It's not about I. That's why there's so much misery in the church. It's all about me. What am I going to get out of this deal? It's not about us, what we get out of this deal. We are so amazingly blessed when we come to Christ with life eternal. But of course, you know, there's more. With healing, with power, with wisdom, with revelation, with unity with the one true God, with the Spirit himself, God, in union with us, in us, here on earth. But there's more. Even more. You're never, ever alone. Ever again. Ever. If that is not worth the small sacrifices he asks of us, of obedience, of walking worthy of the calling with which we were called, then perhaps we should walk the other way. Because he should be honored and given his due. He paid for us. He paid for us to be free. He paid for us to be his. Shouldn't he get what he paid for? As Jesus said when he was talking about his coming, and in Luke 18:8, he says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily," talking about those that are his, believers. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" And then there's another one in Proverbs that is linked to this. Proverbs 20, verse 6. "Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find?" That's how rare it is. And we want to be those people of faith. Because it's by faith that we please him. It's by faith that we can walk, not by sight. It's by faith that we were saved through faith. His grace was offered. We have to respond in faith or to reject that grace. So our faith is crucial. And we can't lip service it and just say we have faith because we made a confession one day, someday. But we live nothing like it. And I keep thinking about this person that contacted me because it is so relevant. Not only was it such a privilege for someone to come to me with complete readiness to repent, completely primed by the Holy Ghost. It was amazing. But what was so impressive to me was his willingness to repent. His willingness to say, I've had enough. I've done it my way. I only want his way now. That's what we need to have. That's what faith is founded on. I believe you, Lord, not in what I can do, not in what I think, not in my way, but what you say, Lord. Your words are true. You won't mislead me. You're worthy to believe. Worthy to believe. Instead of my second guessing you all the time. Did you really mean it when you said this? What about when you said that? And we're not talking just the written word of God. We're talking in communion with him as well. Whatever God says, whether it's in the moment as we spend time with him or whether it's in the written word. Do we believe? Do we believe? And if we don't believe, are we willing to confess to him? Are we willing to admit to him that we don't believe? And we can then say, do you know, the shame isn't in I don't believe, though we might feel hurt or grieved because we were grieving the Spirit. But the shame isn't in that we have lack of belief. The shame is that we won't admit we have it. And then we're in bondage to it. But if we admit it, we have freedom. Lord, no, I don't believe in this area. I've tried. I've done everything everybody told me. But still nothing happens. And I don't believe. I don't see how I can believe without something happening. And what does he say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Which means you have the freedom to hope for what it is that you're looking towards. And the evidence of things not yet seen. It means you can believe before you see. That's the freedom he gave you, Jesus Christ on the cross. You can believe before you see. By that faith, you will see. But we don't believe long enough. We believe for a little while. We decide it sounds good. Or we go to a conference. Or we got charged up. Or we listen to somebody online. Or we, you know, had maybe a moment of real connection with him. Oh, I believe today. But when things get difficult, which is how we're going to fight the good fight of faith, because Satan will always try to steal the word of God from you, whether it's a personal word that he's given you or whether it's in the written word, he will try to steal it. If we're not ready for that theft, if we're not ready to stand firm in our faith anyway, we are going to be led astray. And then we're going to go back to the dog's vomit again and again and again. Back to what we used to do, back to what we used to think, back to insecurity, back to loss, back to needing reassurance again and again and again. In the meantime, people are dying all over the world. And we're not just talking about physical death. There are so many people in the world that never have heard of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Never. Not once. While other people have heard thousands of times and not only have rejected him or they're professing that they believe in him but live for themselves. And we're still going back to them? No. He said, shake the dust off your feet. Speak your peace upon them. If your peace comes back to you, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. We don't want to do it that way. No, we want to be nice. We want to do Christianese. We want to look good to everybody. I'm a good Christian. I care. I'll endure. I'm long-suffering. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. No, Jesus said, do this. He gave us what to obey. But we obey man. So that man will pat us on the back or on the head and say what good Christians we are. That's lip service Christianity. And he's had enough of it. So we can continue in that way, and we will have a vapid relationship with God. Vapid is like empty. A nothing relationship. It has really no meaning. But we can pretend. That's all we'll have is pretense. And we all know what's behind pretense. Lies. That is not what he called us to live. So what is the way out of this? We're not here to condemn and make people hopeless. This is not what this is about. This is about there is a way out. There's always a way out. He is the way out. Are we willing to have him have dominion over all of our lives? All of it. Even our doubts, our fears, our needs, our worries. If we give him that dominion, and it is a choice, what does he do when we humble ourselves? Lord, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it, but I am more than willing to have you do it through me. He can work wonders with a prayer like that. He can turn things over night from dark to light. And he doesn't want, you know, what does it say? That none should perish. His desire is that none should perish. None. None. He doesn't say, oh, only you, select group, will I love. That makes no sense. Otherwise, what was his sacrifice for? He took on the sin of the whole world, it says, not just a few. So obviously it has something to do with what we choose. So let us choose wisely. Let us choose the King eternal, immortal, invisible, God who alone is wise. For his glory and his honor. And then we will know what it is to be free.